The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is the 5 o'clock hour. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm always interested to see the annual State of the Bible survey from the folks at Barna Research. Many, if not most of you, are very familiar with Barna Research. They are the Christian pollsters. They're the Gallup, they're the Rasmussen, however you want to pronounce it. They do a lot of polling, scientific polling, very well respected in the industry, but they always do polls from a Christian perspective, or at least polls that are of interest to Christians, the health of the church, health of denominations, and so forth. Well, every year, for many years, in cooperation with the American Bible Society, they do an annual State of the Bible survey. They have just released the results. Boy, talk about a mixed bag. Talk about good news, bad news, up, down. My goodness. Let me just read the first paragraph, and it kind of sets the stage for the rest of the report. More Americans consulted the Bible in 2019 than in 2018. That's good. That's good news. Yeah, but it doesn't end there. But among those who claim to be Bible-centered, 9.9 million decreased their engagement with the Scripture. Now, I don't have time to go into all of the analysis and all of the statistics and so forth, but here's kind of the bottom line. In the last year, more people have actually picked up a Bible to read it than in the previous year or the past several years. There has been a substantial increase in the number of people, and the word they're using is who consulted the Bible. So that's an increase. That's good. But at the same time, a large decrease in people who were engaged with the Scripture. Engaged with the Scripture. So more people consulted the Bible, but fewer people were engaged with the Bible. Now, how in the world do you explain that? Well, let me give you some more of the statistics, and then I'll try to give you my analysis. I could be totally off on this. The study found that overall 21 million people are looking to the Bible this year when they didn't last year. And that's, again, significant. 21 million more people were actually picking up a Bible and consulting the Bible than just a year ago. However, 15 million people who considered themselves disengaged from the Bible are more engaged this year. And again, that's all good news. Yet, Barna found that Bible-centeredness is decreasing and skepticism is growing. Bible-centered adults. Now, these are adults that, according to this survey, when asked several questions by the Barna folks, said, you know what, we base our decisions, our life, our morals, our philosophy of life, we base those on the Bible. We are Bible-centered. We believe we have a biblical worldview. Well, Bible-centered adults have decreased from 9% to 5% in the past year. And more than one-third of all adults in America, 35%, reported they didn't pick up a Bible at all in 2019, which is a 10% increase since 2011. So, on one hand, there are more people that are consulting the Bible. There are fewer people, considerably fewer people, who are actually engaged with the Bible. And there are fewer, considerably fewer people who would call themselves Bible-centered. Now, let me try to interpret this. You may agree, you may disagree, and if you disagree or if you agree, give me a call. We can talk about it. But here is my take on this. We're living in perilous times. We're living in troubling times. Now, the economy is going great. You know, unemployment is down. But we are deeply, deeply divided as a country. There is hatred. There is animosity. There is raging racism. And I won't go into that. I have my reasons or my feelings about where the racism really is today, which is completely different from where it was 30 or 40 years ago. We have deep problems. We have problems in the world around us. We have terrorism. We have 320 people being killed in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday morning. These are difficult, trying times. And because of that, more people are consulting the Bible. I wonder if there's anything in that book. I wonder if there's anything there, you know? And they are consulting it. But they're not becoming engaged. And they're not finding the answers. And once again, and I hope you don't get tired of this, but I bring the fault of that to the American pulpit. To the American pulpit. The mainline Protestant denominations no longer give biblical answers to anything. They don't. They give platitudes. They give a Reader's Digest inspirational reading from the Bible. They don't give real, solid, this is what God said. Here are the answers. This book has the answer to every problem you will face. The mainline Protestant denominations say, well, it's an inspirational book, and you know, it'll make you feel good if you read some of it, but other parts, well, don't read those parts because they won't make you feel good. Never talk about sin, which is the problem that the entire human race faces. That's the ultimate problem that humanity faces, is sin and how to deal with it. I double dog dare you to find any mainline Protestant denomination that ever talks about sin and the cure. And telling the people who visit that church, folks, listen, you got a sin problem because the entire human race has a sin problem, but the answer is found in Jesus Christ. The real answers to morality, sexuality, marriage, family, relationships. I mean, the real answer. What is God's plan for the family, for human sexuality, for marriage? What is God's plan for gender and gender relationships? What does God have to say about it? Even many of the large evangelical megachurches have sermonettes for Christianettes. They're a mile wide and an inch deep. So people are saying, you know, maybe I should pick up my Bible, but they're not engaging. And people that attend church, fewer and fewer people who attend church regularly are not Bible-centered because they're not being taught. The Word of God is your guide. The Word of God has the answers. You need to base every decision you make and every part of your life, you need to base that on the principles of God's inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That's where you need to put your foundation down in God's Word and find out what God says. So we got a lot of people reading the Bible. Fewer people actually engaging, and fewer people who even consider themselves to be Bible-centered. That problem is not Washington, D.C. That's not the Democrats or the Republicans. That's not Nancy Pelosi. That's not Donald Trump. That's the American pulpit. And that's why, folks, listen, most of you are in a good, solid, Bible-believing church. Thank God every day for your pastor and your church. If you are in a church where the Word of God is proclaimed faithfully and fearlessly, as well as compassionately, thank God that you're in a church like that. And as I say often, one day a week, I have different things I pray about for this radio program every day. I got a little prayer notebook. And every day I pray about a different aspect of this program. One day a week, I actually pray, God, to my listeners who are in a liberal church where they're not getting fed, where they're not getting the Word of God, would you please convict them that they will get out and find a good, solid, Bible-believing church somewhere? That is my prayer for you. And they're there, by the way, and Central Ohio has a lot of them. And we can praise God for that. The state of the Bible, it really is good news, bad news. Let's make sure that we and our churches are part of the good news. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go to the phones. I've got a phone line available for you, however, if you'd like to call. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live, and my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. And that is the number that Joy in Lewis Center has called. Joy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. I just have a question about a chapter in 1 John 3, specifically. I know I'm a child of God, but I wanted you to elaborate on that specific chapter. And I know that I sin like almost every day. So can you elaborate more on that chapter? Because I wanted to like get the whole story of it, because it's pretty much saying that once you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of God in you, that you're not gonna sin. So, but I still sin. But I know that I'm a child of God because I've already accepted Him in my life. So can you elaborate more on that particular chapter?
Sure.
I'm kind of like, I just got a little confused.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of confusion about 1 John chapter 3. And some would interpret it that if when you become a child of God, you don't sin anymore. In fact, I've actually met people who believe that. All I had to do was look at their life for a few days and realize they didn't really believe it. But the key in understanding 1 John chapter 3 partially is in verse 6. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. And I don't want to go into the deep, heavy things of the original Greek and all that. But the meaning there is continuing in sin, habitually sinning, going on in sinning. In other words, if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and dwells inside of you. It doesn't mean that you'll never sin again, but it means that you will not continually abide in sin, because His Holy Spirit will convict you when you do sin. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born again. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, and so on and so on and so forth. If you look at the chapter as a whole, the emphasis is on a continuing in sin, an abiding in sin. We either abide in Christ or we abide continually in sin. And the reason I know that, Joy, one of the major principles of Scripture is to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible teaches that if we are a child of God, our loving Heavenly Father chastens us as a father would chasten his son. Have you read that? Have you heard that?
Yes.
Okay. So, if 1 John chapter 3 was teaching that once we become a Christian, we never sin again, then that verse about a loving Father chastening us as a father would be meaningless. It would be contradictory. Because one verse would say, well, you know, you do sin, but your father chastens you. And the other verse says, well, you never sin. So if we interpret it as there is not even presence of sin in our life once we accept Christ as Savior, that is a direct contradiction of the chastising hand of a loving father upon his child. So again, the thrust of 1 John chapter 3 is that the presence of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, he becomes, you know, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was an external influence that came and went, came and went, came and went. After Pentecost, the Holy Spirit became an indwelling resident. Jesus spoke about that in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15, that would come to pass, that would happen after he was crucified. Well, the Holy Spirit has come in to live and dwell inside of us, which means that when we sin, we are convicted. We know that, and we will no longer go on in sin without conviction. And in fact, going back to the verse of Scripture, it talks about the loving Father chastening us. It says that if we sin and there is no chastisement, then we're an illegitimate child. We are not truly born again. If we can sin without chastisement, without conviction, then we are not truly a born-again child of God. So that's the emphasis there. It does not teach that we are sinless once we accept Christ, because that would certainly contradict the rest of Scripture. And, you know, Paul in Romans chapter 7 talks about his gross failure. He says, everything I want to do, I don't do, and everything I should do, I don't do. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul talks about his sin. So we cannot interpret 1 John chapter 3 consistently if we try to say that there is no sin after we accept Christ as Savior. That makes sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Well,
for that.
Thank you. I am delighted that you called. Thank you so much. Call again, please.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. All right. Bobberty Live will continue. Stay tuned.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.